The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a really good book I would recommend called Rescued, and it's written by a priest named Father John Ricardo. And there's a part sort of towards the end of the book where he's talking about, you know, well, largely I should say that the book is very important in terms of explaining to us the situation that we're actually in, like the context of the world that we're actually in, that we're actually living in a fallen, sinful world. And that we actually need to be rescued in that fallen, sinful world. He really kind of focuses on the fundamentals of understanding what is needed, you know, by human beings from God, that we actually have to be rescued. That, again, I say this before, it's like we just don't come to church to be good people, that we literally need to be rescued by God in the state of humanity that is fallen. And he's amazing at presenting this particular topic. And one of the things that he was talking about towards the end of the book was just the uniqueness and the unprecedented way in which the early Christians founded the church. That the things that they were doing, you know, that are sort of normal to us hearing about them in history now, were absolutely unprecedented. For one community of believers from a certain culture to take a collection of money and to send that to refugees and Gentiles and other believers that were not of their culture was never done in the history of the world ever before Jesus and his gospel message was amongst the apostles. So the idea of charity as we know it, you know, you might even see on like Amazon, it's like, donate this many dollars to one of your favorite charities. And that concept didn't even exist before Christianity. To take up a collection or a second collection and not use that for yourselves, for your own community, but actually send that out to other people in need, that's the level of charity that Jesus Christ had basically called. And there's a couple amazing hallmarks that kind of are in this gospel today. And one of the amazing things about them is kind of like a sense of what we would call habitual grace. Like one of the things that is quoted right here in the gospel is just this section that says, you know, "For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust." One thing about that concept is the idea that, like, there's something called habitual grace and then actual grace. Habitual grace is like rain. It falls upon all of us. All of humanity are under the grace of God as the creator of the world. But actual grace is a moment that many of you have actually felt before, and probably one of the reasons why you're in this church, is a moment where it's like the hand of God reaches down and grants you something specific, touches you and gives you a gift, some sort of consolation. And it could be at any moment. I mean, it could be at the death of a loved one. It could be just in prayer in this very church during a mass, in prayer at our adoration chapel before the Blessed Sacrament. You know, certainly, I know for men discerning the priesthood, there are moments of these consolations where the Lord speaks to you in one way, shape, or form, and he makes his presence known to you. That is an actual grace given to you by God, and it allows you to really know that he's a personal God. And, you know, one of the things that people think about Christians is like, what? It's one of the craziest ideas in the world. And it's the very final line of that gospel. It's just like, you mean to tell me that you're supposed to pursue perfection knowing that you can't really achieve it? And it's like, yes, that's exactly what I mean to tell you. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But again, kind of like C.S. Lewis and many other great thinkers had realized, it's just like, yes, we don't achieve that perfection here on earth, but we are constantly growing towards a perfection that we'll achieve in heaven. Yes, it does actually exist. It just doesn't exist here on this earth. But we're training for it, if you will, to get closer and closer to that. And as many of you know, there's a real thing as growing in holiness. We actually really can grow in holiness. And you know this by looking back on your life and seeing that there were sins that you used to do that you no longer do, that you have actually eradicated and left behind. Now, are there some that are like, oh, that they hang on for dear life, you know, and that are very difficult to eradicate? Of course. And that's absolutely why we need God's mercy in our lives, because there are some of those little nagging things, addictions and difficulties that are very hard to eradicate in our life. In our first reading, one of the things that was so amazing that I talked about yesterday is the paradox of our faith. You know, that again, Jesus overcomes death by dying, that we become poor to become rich. And we hear that here. It's like, now as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, in all earnest, growing in holiness, essentially, and in love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. I say this not by way of command, but to test the genuineness of your love by your concern for others. So one of the tests of our love is our concern for other people. Again, you know, we all know, we've all either been selfish at moments in our life, or we know selfish people. It's not a very becoming quality. But you also know some people who are exceedingly generous, where true love is not something that's turned inward on the individual. It is turned inside out, again, another paradox, and it's emptied out to other people in your life. And in many ways, it's a test of the genuineness of the love that we have and the relationship that we have in Jesus. Because if we know him, then our charity is turned outward toward other people by offering ourselves to other people, by the help that we can give to other people with the varying gifts and talents that we actually have in our life, or even sometimes the material wealth that we've been granted, that we have the ability to give that to others. It's an amazing thing, but we keep focusing on these paradoxes of Jesus, that only the one who has control out of everything can die to conquer death, can teach us to empty ourselves out to become rich. God bless you all.